love, love, love that song. Miss You Dearly, brand new track by Eddie Van Albert. Little trivia, Eddie told Rolling Stone he wrote that song in only about 20 minutes after his wife Kim cut off his penis. Looking at the weather, not going to be much different from yesterday, so unfortunately you're not going to have much to talk about with people you don't know. Coming up at the top of the hour, Chris Cuomo joins us to mispronounce words, and he's got an interview with Democratic contender Elizabeth Warren, who's going to tell us how she invented sand. Looking forward to that. But first, Questionable Material with Jack and Brian. You are listening to Questionable Material with Jack Helmuth and Brian Sack. This episode, Brian's ad campaigns, Jack's movie auditions, and an interview with a four-star general. Oh my God, it just gets better and better and better.
What does
the opening music?
It's the same opening music it always is.
It's just better. It's like a wine, Jack.
Our theme music has appreciated.
It has appreciated in value and taste, like a fine Cabernet, Jack.
But isn't it just public domain music that you found one afternoon?
It is not public domain music, Jack.
Huh, that's interesting. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Jack.
How are you? That's good. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, hold on. I got to pretend to listen. Okay, how are you?
Well, good, Jack. Thank you for asking.
That's good. So how am I?
How are you?
Oh, thanks for asking. I'm good. I had some funny things happen to me recently. I know, right?
Oh, that's the Dickens.
So on to the written segments.
Ain't that the pepper?
Man, our banter is getting better.
It's really good.
Yeah, it really is.
I like improvising.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk. Oh, Jack, you're looking dapper today.
No.
Your pants are on the floor.
No, they're not. They're on my body.
Nope. They're on the floor.
No, I'm wearing my pants right now.
No, your pants fell down. They're around your ankles.
Why can't you just look at me? I'm wearing all my clothes.
Let's just switch to scripted comedy, Jack. This isn't working.
I felt like that was good improv.
No. You did know. You're supposed to say yes and. If I say your pants are on the floor, you go, yes, and they're there for a reason.
Okay. Let's try that again.
Okay.
But a whole new kind of, the whole pants thing, it feels very, it doesn't feel very 2020 to me.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, Brian.
How come your shorts are on the floor?
Yes, and I'm going to shoot you with a gun.
You're threatening me, Jack. I had to call the police. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. When did the improv police get here?
I called the real police, Jack. You just threatened me with a gun.
No, prove it. There's no proof.
You just said I have a recording of it.
Wait, you record these things?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Sometimes when I remember to press the button.
And that happens 90% of the time.
Remember the thing we did that was all funny and then I was like, oh, didn't press the button.
I do remember that.
I try not to do that.
Mm-hmm. So this weekend, since you asked, I took my daughter to a birthday party for a 7-year-old friend.
Okay.
And so we're walking into the building and we're in a gift bag because I don't feel like
you walked into the building inside of a gift bag.
Okay, that was not well told. So just roll with me on this.
Okay,
so I walked into the building holding a gift bag. Hmm. Contained inside the bag were two dolls and some crappy book that we got from someone else that we just were gifted. So in the gift bag, then we covered it with tissue paper so you can't see what it is. So it looks like you're just holding a bag with tissue paper at the top. So it's sort of, you know, what could it possibly be?
Yes.
And so my daughter, as we're walking into the facility, says to me, Daddy, I hope they don't think this is alcohol.
Why would she say that?
I that's the thing. I got to get to the bottom of this. At 7 years old, why would she think I'd be bringing the gift of alcohol to another 7-year-old child? So what do you make of that, though? Why would my daughter think that others would think it was alcohol in the gift bag?
You know, there's an episode of Dora the Explorer.
Right.
When she smuggles Fireball, the cinnamon whiskey.
Yeah, of course.
Into the jungle for there's going to be like a party.
Uh-huh.
And she and her monkey friend, Lewis, I think is his name. They sneak into the jungle with Fireball whiskey.
Okay, it was Boots.
The cinnamon whiskey.
Okay.
Which is an abomination. Anyone associated with creating that should probably be put to death.
That's right. So, okay. So, okay, well, that makes sense. She was into Dora, you know, a couple years ago. So
there you go. There's your answer.
There's the answer.
There's always an answer.
So there's something else I want to talk about.
Okay.
On this very podcast, mm-hmm. you told everyone about the website missingmoney.com.
I did.
And this is a very real website. We do a lot of silly bits with silly products and silly fake screenplays and all that stuff. This is a real website called missingmoney.com that basically puts people in touch with money that they are owed for a various number of reasons. It could be an overpaid cable bill. It could be a tax return.
Some dividend they didn't pick up when they closed their account, things like that, all sorts of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very real. And it's like, there's something like $4 billion.
Oh, there's a crazy amount of money in those things. Yeah.
Being held by the government for people who don't realize they have money. And so you love as a public service to bring that up. So one of the producers on our show today came into me, came into my office and said, by the way, Jack, I've been meaning to tell you this. I looked myself up and I found that I had money coming to me. He's already gotten the check. He got $2,000 back. $2,000 back because of this website, because of you. So good job to you.
Do I get a percentage of that?
No.
Could you
what no.
You, okay, but you just think about it before you say no. You just launched right into no.
Yes.
You just said yes.
No, I'm affirming my launching right into no.
I just feel like a little tiny $50 gift certificate or something to Outback Steakhouse, home of the Bloomin' Onion. just anything. Yeah.
Okay. Is that specifically what you'd like me to request?
No, because that's like 3,500 calories.
Yes.
It's hideous.
I had one last night.
Did you really?
Yes.
You went to Outback last night?
Yes.
Are you joking?
No. We went to Outback last night. I swear to God.
Which you've never mentioned to me before or anything
that like that. That is true. I have never said that to
you. That's really weird.
Yep. Can I tell you one other story?
Sure.
So last week on the podcast, you did news that you missed stories.
Yes.
And you did the last of the news that you missed stories was...
It was the divorce party. It was like, it was supposed to be like a gender reveal party, but it was a divorce reveal party.
Right.
That was the joke. And the joke was that it wound up being your wife.
Yes. That was the big twist.
Yeah.
So when our podcast was released last week, my wife was listening to it and then she went to pick up the children from school. And when they got back in the car, it picked right back up where my wife had left off and they heard my voice and your voice. She's like, oh, that's daddy. Can you turn it up? So she turns it. So like, okay. Now, sometimes, you know, guys, daddy uses words, but it's okay. So for some reason, my wife is letting our children listen to this podcast.
Okay.
So she turns it up as you tell that story. And the big reveal is that there's going to be a divorce reveal party for Betsy Helmuth because she's leaving me.
Oh, great. Oh, I just scarred your kids for life.
God's honest truth. My daughter did.
No, she didn't.
She did.
You lie. Why no, you
she
lie?
Did.
You lie.
I'm not going to have this fight with
lying.
You again. She did my wife's podcast last night. My wife has a podcast, which is good.
She's like the podcast master.
She actually is.
She's like she's the sensei. I come to her and she's like, oh, grasshopper.
Yes.
Here's what you need to do. She doesn't really talk like that. But.
No, she didn't.
Grasshopper.
Hold on. What is my wife's podcast name?
Affordable Interior Design.
Yes. Yes.
It's the same as her business. How did you not know that?
I did know that.
You were looking up your wife's podcast
name. No, I wasn't.
Name. My God.
Shut up.
Wow.
Affordable Interior Design.
Yeah. And when you nibble on her left ear, that's when she gets all giggly.
Oh, I've never done that.
I know.
Okay. So my daughter does, my wife's podcast appears on the podcast tied into what your story, last night. And she comes and she tells me about this, that she like recorded a podcast with mommy. So now I'm a lot more famous than I was earlier. That was her takeaway.
From that's what podcast. She said.
Yes.
Oh, that's really funny.
So she's now more famous than her brother.
Much more famous.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It's all about how many likes she has, right?
Yeah.
My son had a friend when they were younger. And the kid had some YouTube channel.
Okay.
And it had like 13 subscribers.
I remember you telling me.
And it was like, I'm like, what is this? And he's like, I got to show you these videos. I'm embarrassed for him. He's like showing me the videos.
No.
And it's just like, hey guys, last week I had 14 subscribers. Now I'm down to 13. I don't know what happened, but please don't unsubscribe because I promise I'm going to have more material. And it's just basically him talking. Every episode was him talking about how in the future he will have more material, but right now just subscribe.
Oh, that's rough.
And it's like, what are these poor kids? They're just like out there going, hey, do you like me? No? Hey, please like me.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's also sad. It's sad. Like when people like ask, people to like give a 5-star, you don't even have to write something. Just give us 5 stars.
Right.
just a 5-star review, it takes you 3 freaking seconds to do it.
That gets you very agitated.
Like, we have a big number of downloads and 46 reviews.
You
like,
know, it just, I keep telling you this, it just takes time. You have to have faith.
Our, by the next time we do this podcast, I will update the number of views. It'll be the same. It'll be stuck at 46.
Not true. If I wanted to, I could go in and review it myself, but I won't do that.
I know you don't do stuff like that.
Because that drives me nuts.
Yep. Well, my mom, very good naturedly, didn't ask her to do whatever, like on Amazon when our book came out in 2012, I think, mm-hmm. like left a review, like a nice little sweet review, whatever. You saw it.
Yeah.
And because it was her name, like right. Janet Helmuth or whatever, you were like, did you ask your mom to write a review of our book?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. So you were very upset.
Oh, did I?
Because it makes us look ridiculous. Oh, why are you? Like, I don't know. She just did it on her own. She hilarious. Bought the book on Amazon. She's allowed to write a review. I didn't ask her to do it.
Yeah. I had a relative of mine when my first book came out and they wrote a review, I emailed them, was like, please remove that. Because I just,
because it was a 2-star review.
No. Yeah. I just wanted it to be organic. I didn't want to inflate anything myself. I wanted to see.
Yeah. You are the last pure-hearted man in America with that type of thing. You are. You will not, you, it has to be real with
I'm
you.
I'm a dummy. That's well, what it that is. Too. I'm a big sucker.
That too. The podcast is getting bigger and bigger all the time. Wouldn't you agree? Or the numbers does, keep going
it's
up.
It's definitely going up.
Yeah. So soon, I think we plan to monetize this, right?
Oh, yes. That is the plan.
So, and one of the ways we've done
yes,
that in the past.
Yes, queen, as we say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Again, can you just say it again like they said? Again.
Go. Yes, queen.
That's, man. That you sound like a West Village 18-year-old skateboarder chick.
Well,
that's how cool that was.
That's one of my favorite characters to play.
Do it again.
Yes, queen.
Wait, is that Christopher Walken?
I don't know. Was it?
A little bit.
Did it sound like Christopher
on
Walken?
On the play, but yes, queen.
Yes, queen. Where's he been? He kind of disappeared, didn't he? He's hiding.
He is hiding.
Because he killed Natalie Wood?
Jesus. Not soon enough.
Not soon.
A lot of people say too soon. That one was not soon enough.
Not soon enough.
So, well, we hope to monetize this, right? And
yes,
a lot of people don't know that, and this is true.
Yes.
That Brian, back in the day, was in advertising and very good at it.
I was very good at advertising.
Yes, which is true.
Yeah, I mean,
you worked in Atlanta.
You worked in Atlanta. My radio was my my favorite medium.
Yeah, but that was the thing
radio
that you did.
And
you,
yeah, absolutely.
And with good success.
Yeah.
So, that's something that we've always tied into. We've done commercials and fake commercials for things. So I'd say you're a bit of an expert. So, you know, I just wanted to talk about some real products. So I broke into your home and was like going through your conservatory and I saw a lot of your, I didn't realize just how big things are going with you in your advertising career. You don't tell me these things.
No, I keep it secret.
Yeah. So it's really cool. So I can't believe the number of big time companies that have reached out to you to sort of revamp and sort of reimagine their product lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Huge.
Yeah.
So big companies such as.
So I was wondering if I could read you some of the company and you tell us about some of your new plans to revamp, whether it's their song or whether it's their mascot, their look, whatever, just the new positioning in the marketplace for these companies.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Yeah. So for example, I saw that you have a contract with Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
Yeah. And that you're coming up with a new mascot for Mr. Clean. Can you tell us about him or her?
Yes. So Mr. Clean, as you know, he's that muscular, bald guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's got the earring.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided like, you know, he's Mr. Clean, but he kind of needed a mask, you know, somebody to work with, I think, in the cleaning business.
Uh-huh.
So I came up with the idea of a little mascot. His name is Twink. And he's a young guy. He's probably about 24, 25 years old. He's hairless.
And he's bald or he's hairless?
He's hairless. His body's hairless. He wears cut off denim shorts and combat boots with white socks pulled up to the thighs and an absorbent halter top, which is what Mr. Clean uses.
It's absorbent.
It's absorbent because Mr. Clean will pick up Twink and rub him on the walls or whatever.
The surfaces, the filthy surfaces.
And kills 99.9% of germs.
Twink himself does? Like, is there a chemical in his skin, or is it his his shirt? Well,
it's Mr. Clean spraying Mr. Clean and then using
the
Twink
to
just wipe it off and then kill all the germs.
So the small man is just a, is just like a dirt rag.
No, he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
No, I didn't say dirt bag. He's just like he's a rag. He's a filthy,
he's a
rag.
He's a human rag.
Human rag.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why did you feel that was necessary to add to the Mr. Clean multiverse?
No reason.
No reason. You just
felt like a thing to do.
Okay, so that's a thing you do in advertising sometimes. It's just like, it just feels like we need to, like there's no plan for it. You just want to add to the story.
Yeah, I felt like Mr. Clean was lonely. I was like, is there a Mrs. Clean? And then you look at him and he's like, maybe not.
Okay.
And then so, you know, maybe he's got like a friend who he travels around with and cleans up places with.
Twink.
Huh. Mr. Clean and Twink.
I want to go buy that product now. So here's another one. You know, Coca-Cola, right?
No, never heard of it. That's a really silly question.
I'm sorry. They specifically, apparently, from what I read, brought you on to like advance the polar bear storyline.
Well, I mean, the idea with the polar bear campaign, mm-hmm. basically the polar bears are sitting there and their ice caps have melted and they're pretty much stranded now. They can't go anywhere.
That's
now
right.
The sun's beaming on them. They're very hot. They're very thirsty. Mm-hmm. And then this little penguin flies in with a crate of Coca-Cola. And drops the Coca-Cola and they kind of look at one another and they're smiling. And then they walk over and they each grab a Coca-Cola.
Ah, that's cool.
And they use their little
nice.
Polar bear paws to pop open the caps and they drink the Coca-Cola.
Oh. And I mean, does anything else happen to them?
Yeah, eventually.
Eventually what happened?
I mean, they have no access to food sources and stuff. So the Coca-Cola was kind of like a nice send off in a way.
Oh, that's like the last thing they'll ever consume.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, and then it's just like, you know, aren't you glad it was Coke? That was the tagline is, aren't you glad it was like the last thing you're going to have? Aren't you glad it was Coke?
Do you think it's going to help move a lot of Coke?
I don't know. I'd say we're going to put Greta Thunberg on all the bottles. And it's kind of like this lecturing. She's pointing at you.
Oh, that's good.
And it says, how dare you not drink Coke? So I know we're really trying to move in on that.
Okay. That's
she's popular these days.
That is very smart. Mm-hmm. And you've licensed her image?
No, but she's from, I think, Norway.
Yeah.
And they don't have laws there.
Really? That's a lawless land?
It's a lawless country. They were like from Viking days.
Right.
They still have the old Viking law. So if you wanted to, you could paddle over there in a canoe. Jump out of your canoe, run up and kill a vicar and then get back in your, take like his candelabras and maybe his, you know, couple of sandals and then get back in your canoe and paddle back here. No repercussions whatsoever.
No shit.
Yeah. No, Norway has no laws.
That is a really specific crime, by the way.
Yeah. Killing a vicar.
Yeah. Just to steal his candelabra.
Yeah. And his slippers.
And his slippers.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure what the advertising idea is here, but for the Mayo Clinic, they wrote you a big fat check.
Yes. Basically, yeah, the Mayo Clinic, they kind of, you know, they're very old fashioned. It's been a medical center for a long time. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're associated with oncology. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to do something different.
Okay.
So I introduced the idea of Timmy the Tumor. So he's kind of like the Kool-Aid guy. Mm-hmm. Comes up to your wall, breaks down the wall.
Oh, fun.
And he's like, hey, and everybody kind of looks at him and then they run off screaming. And then he just keeps coming after them.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That sounds maybe a little scary.
Yeah. So what happens is, you know, Timmy the Tumor is running after everybody and they're freaking out and they just book. And then they basically just a lot of shots of them running down the street. And then eventually they get to the Mayo Clinic, which opens the doors for them.
Oh.
And then they come running in. And then you see Timmy Tumor like running down the street. And just before he gets in there, they close the doors.
Oh.
And then they, you know, middle fingers in all the windows, like, there, take that, Timmy Tumor.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of inspiring. It's from scary to kind of inspiring.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about Timmy.
He's just a big tumor, mm-hmm. pulsating tumor.
Okay.
He's got two eyes and like very pronounced eyebrows. Mm-hmm. And like this perma frown. And then also, for whatever reason, a lot of collagen in the lips, like really puffed up lips, like Lisa Rinna from whatever that show was. And so, you know, he's a very off-putting tumor with giant lips.
So like Lisa Rinna, but just enhanced about 10%.
Yeah, slightly enhanced, a little whiter and more glisteny.
Sure.
She didn't glisten as much as Timmy Tumor.
Sure. So, and both of them sucked the life out of Harry Hamlin. Is really weird.
Yes.
Yeah. That's okay. Huh. Well, that's okay. Well, congratulations. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
Sure. Of course. This is really an interesting call. Obviously Frosted Flakes.
Yeah.
Big client of yours.
Yeah.
But they, I'm not sure if it's them or if it's you, are pitching a revamp to Tony the Tiger called Tony the Non-Binary Tiger.
Yes.
So what's the thinking there?
We didn't want to alienate anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's so, just a tiger, Brian.
It doesn't matter. We're this day and age, we don't want to alienate anybody. We don't want anyone to think that maybe we've forgotten them or something. So we just kind of leave it up in the air. So it's going to go by Tonet. And instead of they're great.
Yeah.
It's like, these are quite adequate is going to be the tagline.
Okay.
You know, because you don't want to promise too much because sometimes they're not great, but right. they're always adequate.
Okay. Why Tony the Tiger, except for his name, Tony, and maybe his voice, but you look at him on the box of cereal. It just doesn't seem like he is a gender to me. He could be a she. He's just, it's just a tiger.
You never know who you're going to upset.
So I remember reading about that. Yeah. There's like a fun, like back of the cereal game or something with Tony the Non-Binary Tiger. Like, what's the adventure that kids have to do?
He goes to China, and then there's an old Chinese folktale that says if you take Tony's claws and grind them up, you can solve all sorts of problems, like, you know, snoring, sleep apnea, glaucoma.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you follow the puzzle in the back, and Tony's claws get pulled out and ground into powder.
Okay. And that's it. He winds up in a Chinese lab with a.
Yeah. They don't have a lot of respect for tigers, sadly.
But Tony lives right on the back of the box.
I don't want to spoil it.
You got to tell us.
Tony died.
Oh no. How do you reveal that in toy form inside a cereal box?
You just have a picture of a dead tiger.
And so it's not a drawing. It's a picture of an actual dead tiger in a Chinese lab.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It just says not so great.
Okay. Well, lesson learned, I guess. Here's an interesting client of yours. Skippy peanut butter.
Yes.
What do the Skippy people want, and what is it you're trying to deliver?
Well, Skippy is obviously, you know, the peanut companies are facing a little bit of a backlash from all these people who have their potential or perceived peanut allergies. Mm-hmm. Some are legit and some are just people looking to be difficult.
Right.
So Skippy came to us and said, you know, we need a campaign. We need to make peanut butter great again. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to portray it as kind of a lifesaver.
Oh, okay.
Something. So we have a guy, he's in the mountains and he's freezing. He's lost. Oh, there's a blizzard coming in. But then you see a St. Bernard running up the mountain. He's got this little thing hanging from his neck.
Yeah.
And as it gets closer and closer, the guy realizes it's a tub of Skippy peanut butter. And the guy's like, just what I needed. And he takes the Skippy peanut butter and starts eating it. And then he's like, and he's just eating the peanut butter to sustain himself.
Okay.
And then he kind of wishes there was a liquid or something to wash it down. Because if you've ever eaten peanut butter straight out of the jar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then he sees a polar bear. It's a polar bear carcass. And he kind of makes his way over to the polar bear. And sure enough, next to the body is a Coca-Cola.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So there's a tie-in there.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Thank you.
And so he lives.
He survives, yeah.
What happens to the St. Bernard?
We don't really care. Once he's done his job, it's like, get out of here, doggy.
Okay.
You know, dogs are dogs.
Jeez, not everyone would feel that, I think. A lot of people would care more about the dog than the person.
Have you been to China?
No.
Dogs are dogs.
Wow. That is good. Well, the Skippy and Coke people must be. That's very exciting. Yeah,
they were very happy about that campaign.
That's really neat. Here's a weird... This, I got a... Quilted Charmin.
Mm-hmm.
Came to you. They want a new song. So.
Yeah, that's what they wanted. So I kind of... I went with a kind of an old doo-wop-y kind of jingle.
Yeah.
You gotta wipe your bum, your bum, your bum. You gotta wipe your bum, 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 bum. Wiping your bum near your schlong. Boom, boom, wiping your bum with your quilted Charmin. Wipe it. Do, 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 do.
Okay, yeah, I see. That's good. I swear to God, more than anything you've ever said, I want to buy some Quilted Charmin now.
Jack.
Yes, Brian.
Guess what?
It's my birthday.
Nope. I got an email from Brad, my director friend.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is great. Now, this is your actual friend, Brad. Who directs movies for real.
He does. And he sent me some scripts. He, again, wants me to audition. There are a bunch of roles we think might be good for you. And just so you know, he likes to do the cold reading. He likes you to stay in character. It's very important to him in order to really, you know, make sure you're right for the role. So he's directing the next James Bond.
Okay. And so you're saying if I read this cold, because I have never read what you're about to put in my hand.
Exactly. You read it cold and you get through it in character, not a problem. Then you're going to be qualified for the role.
For a Bond, for whatever these James big movies are.
This is life-changing.
Life-changing. Yeah. Oh, I really want this because it has not gone well in the past.
It has not. But this is the new James Bond. It's James Bond Dangerscape. Just sounds...
It sounds Bondish.
Yeah, it sounds Bondish.
Okay.
Okay. So you'd be playing James Bond. He felt like you've got that kind of masculine, like James Bond, the Englishman qualities that that James Bond is. He was like, I think Jack is totally James Bond. In this particular scene, you're talking to Q.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. And
for those who don't know, Q is the weapons.
He's the quartermaster.
Quartermaster.
Yeah, he's the guy with all the funky gadgets and all that. Okay. So this scene.
Do I have to do this in a British accent?
I mean, you don't have to because he said he's willing to work with you. You don't have to.
Yeah. I think you get a dialect coach.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldnldn't worry about it that much. All right. So interior. Q's laboratory.
Interior means inside.
That's right.
Okay.
Really good. You're good at cinema. Okay. Q's laboratory. James Bond approaches Q in his laboratory. In the background, we see a lab assistant decapitate a mannequin with a razor sharp banana. Q sees James, that's you, and hands him what looks like a flashlight. Take this, James. You never know when you might need it.
What is it, Q?
James, it's a solar-powered flashlight.
How does it work, Q?
Easy, really. Whenever you need to see, just expose it to the sun, and it will generate as much illumination as a 50-watt light bulb.
Brilliant, Q. What will you think of next?
This, James. It's a small portable device that we can send messages to no matter where you are in the world, as long as you're within range of an antenna.
Like a mobile phone?
Call it what you will, James, but use it sparingly, because every message will cost Her Majesty 40 cents.
Okay, I mean, I have an unlimited plan on my own phone that I could use, but...
And this, James, is a coin purse. You can place coins in it for safekeeping. That way, if you need coins, you know where the coins are.
I see.
Keep it with you at all times, James, because you never know when some villain will have parking meters.
Right, Q, of course. The purse looks familiar.
That's because it's styled after Miss Moneypenny's front bottom.
Jeez.
So close, right? But, almost at the end.
But that wasn't, I didn't have to be in character because the camera was on Q at that point.
Yeah, but it doesn't, no, you broke character.
That's so vulgar.
Whoever's playing Q would be very upset to be performing with you.
I made it through, but why would he fashion a chain purse out of a woman's front bottom?
I didn't write it.
You didn't write it,
nope,
you're saying?
Nope.
Okay.
Super sad. Okay. Well,
and again, the pages that I'm looking at have all half of it is blacked out, so I truly don't know what's coming.
You can't see my lines, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he really likes to see you cold read. This one, this is a new superhero film.
Ooh.
Aquaman 2.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And you won't believe this. He thinks you would be right for Batman.
Okay.
Yeah.
I totally believe that.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I like your voice. You sound like Ben Affleck.
Thank you.
With a little extra testosterone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sober.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not married to J-Lo. All right. And so.
J-Lo? You stopped paying attention to pop culture in 2003.
I don't know anything. I know she didn't get an Oscar nod or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Surprise. All right. So this one. Okay. This is Aquaman 2.
Okay.
Sequel to Aquaman. Interior, Aquaman's secret cave.
The secret means no one knows about it.
That's right.
Okay.
Batman arrives in his bat submarine. Aquaman is petting a lobster.
Aquaman, Gotham is under siege. We need your help.
I think you might have asked me, who has placed Gotham under siege? Under siege. If so, then the answer is the Joker, Riddler, Penguin, and Two-Face, all at the same time. Can we count on you? So, yes? Listen, we're kind of pressed for time, so let me know if we can count on you. It's pretty important.
Yeah,
come on.
You kind of lost it in that one. That's a shame.
You know what was frustrating about that is I knew right away I lost it.
Yeah, well, you kind of lost character right in the beginning.
What would help me is if you would sometimes warn me, like, because that was...
Brad is all about surprising the actor. He wants to see how you read it cold. He really knows, you know, that's how he gets the best actors for his films. He had Halle Berry once.
I know he did.
Okay, here's another one, Jack. This is a new Showtime.
Oh.
TV show.
Okay.
You know how Showtime is kind of like the poor man's HBO?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this show is called Game of Swords. It's a new series.
Okay.
And you're auditioning for the role of King Joshri.
Game of Swords. Okay.
Interior throne room.
A room is a thing with four walls and a ceiling.
That's right.
Okay.
Sir Blorby approaches King Joshri, who sits on the metallic throne. Sire, I've come to tell you that the King of Darkness has raised an army of the dead.
An army of the dead?
Yes, they are all dead, so they are extra scary because they are dead. If they were alive, they wouldn't be as scary, obviously, but they are not alive. They're dead.
So they're dead?
Yes, dead. The very opposite of alive.
How can the dead be alive?
They're not. They're dead, but they can move, which shatters the stereotype.
How is this even possible?
No one knows. If you ask the dead, they never answer. They just try to make you dead. And if they do, you automatically join their army of the dead. It's a prerequisite.
How long until they reach the castle walls, Sir Blorby?
Hard to say. An army of the living would be here in a month's time. The living move much faster than the dead, but they have to stop to eat, sleep, and make poo-poos.
Of course, I had not thought of that.
Well, of course, you're a king. You don't make poo-poos.
You know, Blorby, there are lots of myths about the monarchy, and that's one of them.
Anyway, the dead don't sleep. They just keep shuffling. It's a slow but steady pace, and they don't stop to eat, sleep, or make poo-poos. A lot of them don't even have bums.
Regardless, our fate approaches. We need to do something.
Yes. Speaking of do something, have you seen the Dragon Mother? I'd love to go full wilding on that. Know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. What? What?
You kind of lost it.
Good. I didn't want that one.
A ripoff of, you know, HBO's hit. Yeah, I get it.
Oh, that was kind of Game of Thrones. I didn't make the connection.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
All right. You're going to love this.
Okay.
This is the Star Wars.
Yes, I was hoping you'd say that.
They're remaking.
I'm not going to break.
Remaking episode 4.
Remaking the original.
Yes. They're remaking it.
Oh my God.
It's a Star Wars remake.
One of the greatest movies ever made.
Is being remade.
Wow.
And Brad, you know, he's heard your voice and he thinks you would be good to play Darth Vader.
No way.
Yep. Oh, it's a remake that you might recognize this scene. Okay, interior, the spaceship corridor.
No jokes, because this is Star Wars.
This is Star Wars.
Yes.
Darth Vader, that would be you.
Yes.
Towers over Princess Leia, who is surrounded by several stormtroopers.
Okay.
I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away.
Hold on, Mr. Vader. You just misgendered me.
What?
I identify as they. By saying take her away, you failed to use the pronouns with which I expect to be addressed. It should be take they away.
I see. Well, perhaps you'd like a lesson in...
Stop your Jedi-splaining, Vader. It's time we decolonize the Empire and tear down the patriarchal hierarchy which you and the other white cisgender males have established.
I find your lack of faith disturbing. These old white guys have conquered 3/4 of the galaxy and...
Check your privilege.
Okay, just take her away.
They.
Get her out.
They.
How long until the Death Star reaches her planet?
They's planet.
Okay.
Damn it, Darth. Oh. Well.
Does he have an actress in mind for Leia?
Yes. Amy Schumer.
So, Brian.
Yes, sir.
It is that time now for our big interview. And we have a big week. Like last week, we had President Trump. It's hard to top that. This week, we have one of the top generals in the entire Pentagon.
Ooh.
I think he was just bumped up to a 4-star general. His name's John Ziegler.
John Ziegler.
Yeah, and he's going to talk about, you know, where we are in terms of, you know, preparedness, readiness, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on with Iran, boots on the ground, where he sees other conflicts, all sorts of fascinating insider stuff about American foreign policy. How cool is that?
That's very cool. And that's one of my things that I'm actually interested in is foreign policy. And
that's why I'm so excited for you, because this is actually like an interview that is tailor-made for you.
Yay.
So why don't we bring him out?
Let's do it.
So our first guest and only guest today is... What on earth was that?
Oh, God.
What?
That is my wife.
What?
She's in the woods.
Your wife is in the woods?
Yeah, she's a banshee, Jack. She's a banshee.
And she's in the woods?
Yeah, that's where banshees live.
Okay, don't get snappy with me. I don't know.
This is so stressful. I'm so tired of going to the woods.
So you have to go to the woods a lot for your wife?
Listen to that. You want to tell that you're not coming? You don't want to be, you'll get torn to shreds.
I guess the timing of this just seems.
I wish.
You miss a lot of
it. It's almost like she does it on purpose. All right, I'm going to go.
Okay, Brian. Well, thanks for.
Sorry, Jack. I'm sorry.
Okay, thanks for leaving me with
help. It's not me, it's her.
Yeah, you sure? Okay. Thanks, Brian.
Sorry.
Okay.
Ask a lot of questions.
Okay, that's really sound advice again. Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry about that, everybody. I guess it's just going to be me again. Great. Our first guest is one of the up-and-coming rising stars in the American military. He is a 4-star general. Please welcome General John Ziegler. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jack, for having me.
You're welcome. First of all, the thing that is on everyone's mind is the situation in Iran or Iran.
Iran.
Iran. Mm-hmm. So it's Iran.
Iran, correct.
Okay. It's funny because my Brian also sort of is a stickler with saying it that way.
We're saying it the proper way.
Okay.
He's a stickler for saying things the right way.
Yeah.
Do you say I isn't going to the store? Because that's the wrong way of saying it.
That'd be the wrong way. What's the right way of saying it?
I am not going to the store.
What about if the store was in Iran?
I am not going to the store in Iran.
Okay. Okay, good note. Thank you. So what is going on in the stores in Iran?
What is going on in the stores in Iran?
Yes, or...
The rain in Spain stays mainly on the plane?
Yes.
Or is this some kind of linguistic puzzle?
No puzzle. I just want to know...
What is going on in the stores in Iran? Did you rhyme that on purpose?
I was just trying to be cute. I'm sorry. I won't be. I can tell you're a very literal person. please tell us what's going on in the situation in Iran. Please fill us in.
You want me to make it as simple as possible?
Please. That's something that we can all understand.
There was bad man. We make bad man go away.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was definitely very simple.
Yes.
And I thank you for following that direction. Should we still be concerned now? What are the chances? What outcomes do you see happening over the next days, weeks, and months?
I imagine they will come at us through unconventional means, as they have been. They have a track record with that.
Like on a unicycle?
They do not have unicycles.
They don't have the technology yet?
They have not developed the technologies. The Israelis sabotaged the unicycle program that they had established 20 years ago.
Okay.
So they are far behind. They have bicycle technology, but they have not been able to isolate these to one wheel.
Right.
And a lot of that is thanks to Israeli intelligence.
Okay.
What we can expect from Iran would be a series of attacks on us by proxy, cyber attacks.
Mm-hmm.
You might find your favorite local news website is hacked, and they put a little flag and a taunt.
Okay.
If you have an automated sprinkler system at your house,
mm-hmm.
you might find it going off at 3 o'clock in the morning. In the middle of winter.
Diabolic. In the winter.
In the winter. You say to yourself, well, why is that happening? Well, that's Iran.
Huh.
They might get into your dreams.
What?
You might be sleeping. And you might have a dream where you're standing there and then suddenly you shoot off into the sky. And you have no control. You don't know how you're going to land. That's Iran.
That's Iran?
Yeah.
So they don't have unicycle technology, but they can get into your dreams?
Yes. You might go to a fast food operation.
Mm-hmm.
You see the picture on the display.
Mm-hmm.
The hamburger looks delicious.
Yeah.
You get your hamburger. You get home. You open it, and it's a wrinkled mass. It looks nothing like the picture.
Oh.
That's Iran.
That's Iran.
Yes.
I'm getting really angry with that country.
You buy a bottle of wine, a nice Cabernet $40 bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a decent Cabernet, maybe 2016, 2015.
Okay.
You open it. The cork crumbles, breaks into little pieces, falls into the wine, requiring you to strain it. You will have to strain the wine now. Very frustrating experience for a wine drinker. That's Iran.
Okay. Wow.
You open your vegetable drawer.
Wow, there's a lot of things they could be doing here.
Your radishes are wrinkled.
Uh-huh.
That's Iran.
Wow.
Your butter.
The butter too?
Your butter.
I mean, it's bad enough that they went after our radishes.
Your butter is speckled with pieces of toast from the knife that you had used to spread the butter on the toast, but now it's on the entire stick of butter.
Right.
That's Iran.
What?
You park your car. You leave it on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You park your car on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You come downstairs. There's a dent in the side.
Mm-hmm.
You might think that a taxi or somebody getting out of a taxi might have just whacked your door carelessly.
Right. Or my friend's wife.
Or your friend's wife.
Mm-hmm.
It's Iran.
No.
Yes.
I thought it was Karen.
No. You go to a restaurant.
What?
You order appetizers and entrees.
Tell the affiliates we're going long.
You expect your appetizers will come before your entree. There will be a gap, but the appetizer and entree comes at the same time.
No,
Iran.
Okay, that's too much. I want the appetizer first. It's what I was looking forward to. I want to enjoy that. And then, because then my entree is going to get cold.
That's how they're coming after us. Conventionally, they cannot face us. Our military is far better equipped, far better trained, far better organized. They do not have the capacity to take us on conventionally, but they will mix up our entrees and appetizers.
What can we do?
Well, we have a program called Operation Blow Up People. Not the best name.
Okay.
I didn't want that name. I had a better...
What was your name that you came up with?
Operation Sunrise.
Oh, yeah, that's...
A New Dawn.
Right, I love that.
That you're not part of because we've blown you up.
Who came up with the other name?
I don't want to say it's classified.
Okay. Can you give us a hint?
His name is, it rhymes with Ronald Bump.
Okay. I can't figure that out.
So Operation Blow People Up from the Sky.
Oh.
Or whatever it was.
I think it was just Operation Blow People Up. I think you may have just leaked something.
Operation Blow People Up. Well, in a situation like this, we need to stay alert. Mm-hmm. What we don't want to do is escalate. One thing we're going to do is we're starting a craft brewery in Iran.
Okay.
Subsidized by the American taxpayers.
All right.
We sell craft beers, and they're going to have names that are kind of anti-regime.
Okay.
So, you know, Khomeini's a meanie. Khomeini IPA. Uh-huh. Khomeini IPA. M-E-A-N-I-E.
And no, I get it.
There'll be a picture of a mullah with a big beard. And, you know, so that's one of them. Very hoppy IPA.
It's a kind of a good idea, but you do know they don't sell alcohol in Iran, right?
Well, that could change.
You think?
You never know.
I'm really sure that won't change.
Well, there are other ways to reach the population.
Like?
We're hoping we can enlist Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber.
Okay.
To sing songs.
Okay.
In Farsi. Mm-hmm. Just poppy ballads.
Okay.
That make their leaders look like jerks.
Sure. So maybe Taylor Swift dates a mullah, they break up, and she gets real angry and just totally disses, like it's what we call a diss track.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the plan.
That's one of the plans.
Okay.
We have a lot of options at our disposal.
It seems, okay. I haven't heard a lot of the good ones yet, but I trust they're there. Question, I am worried about things escalating. And of course, I think the real fear in the minds of Americans is that Iran will use a nuclear weapon, that they will obtain a nuclear weapon and use it less likely on America, but that certainly is a fear, or more likely Israel.
Well, they don't have nuclear weapons. And that's been our goal from the get-go, is to prevent them from having nuclear weapons. So what we did is we messed up their, we snuck into their Amazon account. Mm-hmm. And we changed their address. So every time they order nuclear weapons supplies, it gets shipped to Trenton, New Jersey.
That is solid.
It is solid.
Wow.
There are other methods. Obviously, in order to produce nuclear weapons, you need nuclear scientists. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what we did was we took a school bus full of children 20 years ago. And we drove the school bus to a facility I can't really name where it is.
Okay.
And we raised the children.
Wow.
And we made them into nuclear scientists.
Okay.
And now they live in Iran, working in the nuclear program, except they don't know what they're doing.
Oh, really interesting. You kidnapped a bunch of children from their parents.
Yes.
And you taught them, you gave them a really poor education, but you trained them to somehow assimilate into Iran.
Yes.
And then do really bad work on behalf of the Iranian government. That was your plan?
Yeah, we created amazing LinkedIn profiles for these people and that got them jobs in the Iranian nuclear facilities. Mm-hmm. And so this has really slowed down the program.
It's not the worst idea. You know what's going on across the globe. What are some other hot spots and some things that Americans perhaps don't know about that they should be focused on?
What keeps me up at night? My wife's snoring.
Sir.
Sleep apnea.
Sir, please.
320 pounds.
Your wife is?
Yeah.
No kidding.
All night long.
And that's related to her weight, you think?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, are you happy in your marriage?
I have deployed myself to other women, if that's what you're saying.
That is what I'm saying. Okay. That's good to know.
I have parked my fleet in other harbors. I've landed on different airstrips in the 40 years of marriage.
Okay.
I've invaded beachheads, different places on the map.
Mm-hmm.
My armored division has penetrated multiple front lines. I've paratrooped into locations behind enemy lines, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
I banged a bunch of chicks.
If you know what you mean?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious.
Okay, yeah, that one. Yeah, I get that one.
I'm tired of euphemisms.
I think we all are.
And euphemisms are, once again, a tool that Iran uses.
No.
To obfuscate things.
You know, as the 2020 election approaches, who are some candidates that you think would be either good or potentially dangerous for our country?
Elizabeth Warren.
Okay.
As you know, the Indians produced a lot of great warriors. There was Sitting Bull, Running Wolf,
yep,
Slashing Bill, and there were so many of these great Indian warriors.
What are some of the other big Indian warriors that you remember?
Horse Stomper,
Screaming
Bear.
Okay, I think I've heard of him.
Whining Eagle.
Whining Eagle. Mm-hmm.
Pokanai.
Mm-hmm.
Punchy.
All the big ones. So you're saying all the big ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so.
Running back. Yeah.
And, okay. So how does this tie to Elizabeth Warren in any way?
Well, as a Native American, she has that blood in her. You know, warriors have warrior blood.
So she just has.
I'm from a family of warriors. My father was military. My grandfather was military. Mm-hmm. My great grandfather was military. Mm-hmm. My great great grandfather was.
No, I knew you'd keep going.
Napoleon.
Oh, your great great grandfather was Napoleon?
Well, he didn't want to hear it, so never mind.
Oh, geez, I wish I hadn't.
So military background. So you know, knowing that she is Indian, I think she has a tremendous military capability. So I'd be happy to serve under her.
Okay. Is there another Democratic candidate that you're excited about for their military background?
Beto O'Rourke.
Mm-hmm.
I thought had the military chops that this country needed.
Okay. Why?
Because I was reading Vanity Fair.
Okay.
And they just had the greatest little article on that man.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, the rest of America didn't see the light.
Okay. You're nothing you say is what I expect.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can take that as a compliment.
Consider it taked.
Jesus. Do you have 4 stars in the traditional sense? I mean, like.
No.
No. Oh, what?
Well.
I was told by our booking agent that you're a 4-star general.
On Yelp.
Oh, no. So just 4 out of 5 stars?
Yes.
Are you, what role do you have in the military?
I'm a consultant.
Okay. Who do you consult?
With the Joint Chiefs of Staff's friend, Billy.
All of the Joint Chiefs have a friend named Billy.
Yes.
And you consult with Billy on what?
Various matters.
What was the last thing you and Billy talked about to do?
Where the best raclette cheese comes from. Is it Swiss or is it French? Or could you do an American version? I insist that it's French. He insists that it's Swiss. We both agree that good raclette cheese does not come from this country.
So you don't have the power to do jack shit.
I wouldn't say it like that.
How would you say it?
I don't have the power to do nothing.
Why?
Because I am not technically a 4-star general.
Mm-hmm.
I am generally a 4-star review on Yelp.
So you're really just a moderately reviewed person. Just for some reason, people review you as a person.
And I get 4 stars.
And you're friends with Billy,
yes,
who occasionally talks with his friends, the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Correct. And by joint chiefs, I mean the 420 dudes. They like to get high every Thursday afternoon. They call themselves the Joint Chiefs. It's kind of like a group of loosely affiliated friends who have a addiction to marijuana.
Okay. You are an idiot, and I'd like you to get off my show now.
Will do.
Okay. I wish Brian was here. No. You know what? Screw it. I'm glad he wasn't here. No one needs to have seen or heard that. Well, that's thankfully all the time we have for this week's episode of Questionable Material. Please, you know, give us that review. Go to qmpodcast.com. Sign up for the newsletter. We want to get in touch with you guys. We want to be able to stay in touch. Funny newsletters, good comments. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. On behalf of Brian, whatever his last name is, I'm Jack Helmuth. Good night.